I don't even know how to begin this. Wow. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 68 of the Skullscast.
We have merged from the deep underground caves from which we could not record podcasts.
And into other deep underground caves that are buried in snow at the moment, giving us both, like, way too much free time, so... I guess that's how we get back in. I've wanted to do these for a while, and the Hearthstone got in the way. I'm like, well, Medibot's kind of busy. You don't want to do it. There's Hearthstone right here. Man, and that would be good.
Wait, what if I ever been busy?
What, like every day? You're there, and the door shuts, and then. It stops, and I'm like, oh, he's busy. Whoop.
That's just because I...
Anytime the door closes, that is cruise control for I am busy, do not disturb. It's like automatic. That might be my own imagining. So I imagine you're an extremely busy person.
Quite the opposite. The door is closed because I don't want to see anyone... I don't want anyone to see me slacking off.
Oh, this is basically still slacking off. I mean, this.
Right, but it's slacking off that other people in a very direct way will know about.
Oh, and hey, maybe they can think of it as work. So this cycle sustains itself.
Mm.
Right, they're like, I want to hear what they have to say.
Yes.
They're going to make points, and I'm going to criticize them, and that would be...
Many points.
So for the sake
like
of our...
like a basketball game over here.
I hope not that many points. Basketball has way too many points, man. I can't... I have trouble counting past 7, and they're up into, like, the hundreds of points. I'm like, man, you gotta... Like, what is...
Pretty soon they'll optimize the game to the point where, like, 4-digit scores will become the norm.
I want to see a 4-digit basketball score. That would be great. Is that where they introduce the 12-pointer?
Well, they add combo rules.
That is very important. Ooh, maybe it could be like points in successive quarters of the game count for more and more. So what would be a 1-pointer, or like a free throw or something, yes, becomes worth 2 in the second quarter, 4 in the third, and 8 in the fourth quarter.
And then a normal basket would be 2, 4, 8, 16.
Yeah.
And a 3-pointer, 3, 9, 27, 81.
Yes. That's how we get into 4-digit basketball games.
All right. I like
it. All the action happens in the fourth quarter.
It's
turnarounds are real. 81
pointer.
That
means that the game is tense up until the last second. We could even have it, instead of by quarter, a continuous scale based on time remaining in the game.
Yes.
So that buzzer beater, probably worth 400 points on its own.
Natural exponential growth of point values of the shot. You need like decimal places to keep track of the score.
Yes.
It'd be excellent. Now that's a buzzer beater. Holy crap. Well, anyway... we're not talking about basketball this time. I don't know anything about basketball.
Neither do I. I only know about the sort of fictionalized basketball.
Fictionalized basketball is way more interesting.
Shoes catch fire, and you can play as Bill Clinton.
Yes, or a werewolf. Man, the Bill Clinton v. werewolf matchups were pretty hard. Couldn't you be Newt Gingrich?
Yes, he was also playable.
Oh man,
remember when he was relevant?
No.
Me neither.
Wow. Wow. Wow, it's been a while. Also, anyone listening to this has no idea who that is.
What?
Come on, our audience is like 15-year-olds and stuff. They were born in 1999.
It's impossible.
No one
was born that late.
I'm telling you, this is the kind of thing that you've already watched all your Let's Plays... You've already played all your video games. You've already read all the wiki sites and all the forums posts on the forums posts for the wiki sites that you read. And you've already listened to like popular webcasts like Loading Ready Run or The Escapist or Extra Credits or something. Then you listen to the Skulls cast. Okay? That's the kind of barrier and that then, we're facing.
After listening to the Skulls cast, you may, in times of need, eat at Olive Garden.
That will... No, there can't be anyone like that. They would die. They would be dead from listening to all of this. They go to sleep, or not actually go to sleep, because we're talking about a very intense day for a 15-year-old. But manifestly, no one else on the planet has enough free time to do all of that. I'm pretty sure our target demographic consists of 6 total people, and they're all 15. Somehow. Not even like a variance around that age range. All precisely 15 years old.
Interesting fact, they will actually be 15 years old until the end of time. Their bodies have ceased aging, and they're stuck in a temporal quantum state.
Man, temporal quantum state, listening to the Skulls cast. Maybe that's what's sustaining them, and I have a personal stake in seeing that the time loop remains. I'm going to stop thinking about that now. Also, I'm going to stop telling my audience how old they are, because it's rude.
Never ask an audience their age.
Never tell them their age, either.
Asking and telling are basically the same thing.
That's something I'll have to get to the bottom of later. By now, I've completely forgotten which of the 3 things that we were going to talk about.
We were going to talk about that thing that kept us from doing Skulls casts.
Oh, lordy, Hearthstone?
Yeah.
How do you even start off Hearthstone talk?
So Hearthstone is Blizzard's response to the massive popularity of another trading card game that is played all over the world by, thousands of people. There are huge events for it all the time. The cards for it command prices into the hundreds, sometimes even thousands of dollars. And so they took a lot of that game's core elements and made their own game. And that game, of course, is Yu-Gi-Oh!
That's right.
And so Hearthstone is sort of Blizzard's answer to Yu-Gi-Oh!
They saw, hey, kids have fun with this game, but what if we could solve a lot of its problems by taking away the collectible card aspect of it and making it entirely an online experience in a digital product like the things that we're already used to developing? Released through a system that we've already built. Why not? So it solves a lot of their design choice problems out of the gate, just that way. The overhead involved with physically printing cards, it's such a hassle. A lesser card game called Magic the Gathering, run by Wizards of the Coast, Wizards has to take out loans, in fact, to pay people to print their cards, and then they make it up, and then they sustain themselves that way. They're constantly in a cycle of going into debt just to make their product real.
Wouldn't they eventually make enough money to stop having to do that?
No, because they're idiots, and they don't do anything with the secondary market. So there's a lot of people who are just doing secondary market stuff and reselling and getting money that way that Wizards gets no part of at all. You crack a booster pack and they see almost nothing. It's the kind of thing that kept me going for a long time in Magic, knowing that those who had labored so hard to make this real in the world are earning a comparative pittance compared to the middlemen and shysters who are putting it in my hands. That might not actually be true, but the part where they have to take out loans to pay printing companies to print their cards, that's real. Or at least it was real a couple of years ago. I don't know. My information is a little out of date on Magic the Gathering. So to reinforce the point, at least, the point I'm trying to make is that creating physical cards is a super hassle. And it has a whole lot of... There's a lot of built-in baggage to that. Most of it that you can immediately expect. Some of it that comes up later. Hearthstone, though, gets rid of all that. They're like, okay, yes, it's about, cards, but... We don't have to make any.
No. They
also had a failed approach at breaking into the world of collectible card games. I think it's a failed approach. The World of Warcraft
mostly failed, game. But not in a particularly spectacular or incriminating fashion.
Yeah, it's not like they ruined themselves with the Warcraft collectible card game or anything. It's just, I don't think it took off. I had some friends who played it because they played WoW and they got some free cards or something.
Yes. They would have serial codes on certain codes in the booster pack that you could enter into the World of Warcraft online game and obtain special prizes.
Ah, well, yeah. Yeah, or right.
Which
so
is
that
how they sort of
in the world.
Added, so in a sneaky way, I didn't realize this until now, that's sort of adding like a little microtransaction gachapon to World of Warcraft by saying buy a booster pack and get a serial pack. I didn't even realize that until now, but oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Blew a bunch of clever motherfuckers.
That's kind of a long length to go to for a microtransaction, though. I mean, the appeal of that is supposed to be that you create this system and people just throw nickels and dimes into it and you don't have to do anything anymore. It's the drinks machine problem all over again, except not as whimsical or run by an entity, theoretical non-entity that may or may not be alive.
Mm.
Depending on your...
A sufficiently complex corporation, while not a person, may yet be an organism.
Mm. We've already had that talk, though. We're trying to talk about
So, much like Yu-Gi-Oh! With its tie-ins to a manga and anime series,
yes.
Hearthstone has a tie-in to the world of Warcraft, and all of the characters and plotline that I had no familiarity with, and I'm like, who the hell are these people?
Almost none. I confess I do have a great deal of familiarity with the World of Warcraft, which is to say, the game universe of the Warcraft franchise, not the game The World of Warcraft. Because I played Warcraft 2 and 3, and the expansion to Warcraft 3, The Frozen Throne. And so I know all the people who are part of that. And as soon as you get from Warcraft 3 to the World of Warcraft... Oh, there's also a bonus campaign where Thrall meets Rexxar and creates Orgrimmar, and you play through that, and it's this whole bonus campaign on top of everything, and it's actually difficult, which made it fun. Whereas the rest of the game is basically not difficult apart from two chapters where you're facing actually overwhelming forces and you have to just survive. I dislike those missions. Because that's one where the cool part of Blizzard strategy games, which is to say, you're up against an AI who has similar resources to you, and you have to overcome it with superior strategy. They don't have similar forces to you. They have better forces than you. And they just get them for free. And so you can't cut them off from their resources. That's some Age of Empires 2 crap, and I don't like it. I like winning a fair fight.
I played Warcraft by connecting the phone line to my computer and calling the number at my friend's house down the street because,
yes,
you know, we arranged this ahead of time.
Mm-hmm,
You know, I called him on the phone, would you like to play Warcraft? And then we asked our parents, is it okay if we use the phone line for half an hour? And usually the answer was no, and then we did it. And then we dialed up, and then usually we would not get to finish a game because someone in one or the other house would pick up the phone.
Yep.
That was my previous sort of knowledge of this whole universe. And so a lot of the in-jokes and whatever simply didn't
exist
for me.
Man, there are a ton of them. They're still tone-deaf to me as well. Because... Wait, there was a because there. Lost my train of thought. Tone-deaf jokes. World of Warcraft. Right. So all these characters, through like Warcraft 3, Warcraft 3, they build them a certain way. Once you get from there to the World of Warcraft, your agency in the game as a player is so vastly reduced that it's like you don't know those characters anymore. Up until that point, I was in command of Thrall Hellscream. Or Thrall War... Thrall Doomhammer? Thrall...
Thrall Doomscreamer?
Thrall Doomscreamer.
War Doomer?
War Doomhammer is what he says. Thrall...
Garrosh? No.
Garrosh is Hellscream.
Yeah.
Garrosh Hellscream. I remember that. Wow, I can't remember Thrall's name anymore. This is what it does
to
you. Anyway, Thrall. You're in command of Thrall, and then you get to the World of Warcraft, and you're some, like, sub-peon. Like, peons can beat you up a unit that costs 40 gold in the game can, like, wipe the floor with you. You start life. The critters, who you can click on repeatedly to murder in Warcraft 3, will tackle you dead in World of Warcraft when you start it out. And there's, you know, you can meet Thrall. It's like, oh, I used to command you. And now he's this majestic golden god sitting upon a pedestal in the city that you helped him build in the previous game. It feels like you're taken away from the story at that point. It's like all these story elements, they built them up and then they're just sort of like, okay, stop here. We cap it off and sort of scrape the ice cream off the top and say, okay, this is going to be the flat surface, the unchanging, perfect landscape of our plot forever after. So when I first saw that, it was like nothing ever changed and I wasn't interested at all. Certainly my experience didn't change. I bashed my fist against a pig for 15 minutes.
That's some pig. And
then I got bored. Apparently there's a mechanic where if you kill a pig with very few hits, then it will always drop its meat. But if you do too many hits, then you won't get the meat. This makes quests difficult early on because you need the meat. But there's a mechanic to it. How would you learn this? I don't know. Maybe it's also a myth from several years ago. All of my World of Warcraft knowledge is woefully out of date.
So these are the people that and things that populate the game of mm-hmm. Hearthstone.
All of the post-world stuff. All sort of... what do you call it? Anachronistic, too. Because, like, Garrosh is there. He's a character. Gul'dan. He's there. Jiraxxus?
Yep.
Pretty sure that Jiraxxus got dealt with in some plot line or other.
Yeah, they have like all the big names
anyone
the
who
plot and all the expansions they've done. Possibly
Arthas isn't there. What the heck?
Playable character
or
card.
An Arthas card.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, well, he was the main character of the Frozen Throne, and he became the Lich King.
Okay.
By putting a hat on.
Evil hat?
It was kind of an evil hat.
That makes sense.
The hat had, like, called out to him and turned him undead in the first place.
Hats that call out...
Because he had picked up the...
50-50.
He picked up a magic sword.
Ah, magic
Frostmourne.
Sword.
Frostmourne.
Ooh.
They can also have a Frostmourne card because there's equipment in this game. We haven't talked about how the game works at all.
Okay,
oh,
so... the way the game works is... each player has a deck of 30 cards, which consists of spells and minions.
Mm-hmm.
These are the two types of cards. Everything has a... I think they call it mana in this game?
They do call them mana crystals, at least. So I think we can call them mana costs.
Right. Everything has a mana cost. At the beginning of each turn... each of your turns, you start the game off with one mana available, then on your next turn you'll have two available. Any unspent mana just sort of disappears.
Yeah, you don't get it.
And then once you get up to 10, you stop gaining more.
Right.
Other than that, there's no real limit on how much you can play in a given turn. Spells provide an effect and are then discarded. Minions are played onto the playfield,
mm-hmm.
And then they can get in fights with other minions or your opponent.
Yep.
And if they, each player starts with 30 life points, mm-hmm. and through minions attacking your opponent and sometimes spells that will deal damage, your goal is to get your opponent's life to zero. Or less.
There is, to my knowledge, no other win condition available in the game. I mean,
yes.
Your opponent can concede,
yes.
Or they can disconnect, and you'll win.
Right. Those are sort of meta...
Right, but that's not a game win state.
Right. That's
just a functional kind of thing.
Systemic
right.
resolution of things.
Like decks are all precisely 30 cards,
yes.
No more, no less. You have a hero. You are a character.
You are a character. There are 9... playable characters. This affects what cards you may include
mm-hmm.
in your deck, And each of the characters also has what is called a hero power.
Yes.
That they may use once per turn, at a cost of 2 mana.
Mm-hmm.
That provides some minor but beneficial
effect. And they're all really well balanced with respect to each other. I'm amazed by how well they did that. Like 9 different things, all precisely 2 mana, and they have to be something that's useful, versatile, balanced with everything else. The little bits of it, that's a piece of the design of Hearthstone that just... It really warms my heart to see that kind of thing can exist in video games nowadays. But yeah, okay, so you're a character, you have hero powers. There's spells and minions. You have to kill your opponent. Minions have health.
Yes.
Health is... It's just sort of a number, increments and decrements. So if your minion with 3 health takes 1 damage, then he'll have 2 health. Forever.
Well, until like, something else
until something else damages him or heals him.
Yes. Which, I guess, if you are familiar with Magic the Gathering, is a contrast.
Yeah, that's a novelty.
Minions attacking other minions directly, again, showing its sort of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Flavor. You know, when your minion can attack, you click on his target, and then they just bump together, and they trade blows, and that's that. So there's their version of haste that they call charge, minions that can attack right away. There's minions that you must attack instead of anything else. So if there's a minion with taunt on the battlefield, you have to go after it. There's Divine Shield, which is boring.
Wind Fury. You may make to it. Minion may make 2 attacks.
Yeah.
There's also equipment.
There is equipment. Does that count as a spell? I don't think that counts
maybe
as a spell
that is a third
or a
type
minion,
of type.
So it's a third type.
Equipment is wielded by your character and gives you an attack score, which means
you're a stone and you can bump into things. So when it's in your hand, it's a card, and then when you play it, it becomes a little stone. That's the stones.
weapons are limited use and will break after a certain number of uses to keep them from just being kind of amazing.
Yeah, it would be pretty dumb if you had like a permanent amount of attack on your hero.
Although if you get an attack score some other way, you can also attack even if you don't have a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Importantly, going back a bit, talked about damage and how it sticks around. You start the game at 30 life, and you can never have more than 30 life.
That's correct.
But
30 is your health amount because you're similar to your minions in that way.
Yes. But, although your health cannot go above 30, there's a sort of secondary life resource called armor,
mm-hmm.
which can grow arbitrarily large,
yep.
and when you take damage, you lose armor before losing any health.
Yes. There might be an exception to that.
I don't think there are any exceptions to that.
I don't think so either, but I've been playing this a bunch and the zoo lies to me a lot, and they were saying that fatigue might go directly to health.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's not the case because it's just how it works on the card. I should have been able to test this.
We can test this at some point.
I have a druid deck that very easily gets to fatigue range, and druid can just give itself armor, so there's that.
So we really haven't defined that term. In many code games, there's some mechanic to deal with the question of what happens when one of the players runs out of cards in their deck, because almost always in these sorts of games, the first thing you do during your turn is you draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you resolve this when you have no cards left? In Magic, it's resolved by, well, if you need to draw and cannot, you lose the game. Hearthstone deals with it a little bit differently. Every time you attempt to draw from an empty deck, your character takes fatigue damage, which starts at 1 for the first sort of missed draw, then 2, and so on, thereby ensuring that eventually this will kill you, regardless of what other trickery you're attempting to perform. It also has a cool skull icon that pops up when it happens, And
it's almost like an advertisement for Diablo 3. That's how good it is. That level of skull pops up. I'm really happy about that.
So that adds an aspect of sort of absolute inevitability
right.
to the game, which is also, to some extent necessary.
Right. It's also along the vector of the only way in which you can win or lose anyway, which I really like.
Right.
Because in Magic, there's nothing so frustrating as, you know, you get your opponent to one life or whatever, and then you get milled out, or then you, time gets called or whatever, and you're so close to winning, except Magic just doesn't have a means of caring about how close you got, only the binary fact of whether or not you did.
And so this sort of inevitability still ties into the game's one loss condition, which is hitting zero life. Which is... Do I want to use the word elegant here?
I like that. Yeah, no, it's...
It means, in all cases, the thing that makes you lose is hitting zero life.
There's one
other unusual way you can lose the game. We don't need to talk about
okay, fair because enough.
Because it's goofy and hilarious, but it's kind of goofy. Codes do what they say. Some minions do a thing when you play them. This is called battle cry. Some minions do a thing when they die. This is called death rattle.
There are neat little icons to indicate lots of things.
Yes.
Death rattle minions have a little skull and crossbones at the bottom of them. Taunt minions have a shield around them. Divine shield minions have a little bubble
the magic on top bubble. Of them.
Wind fury minions have a little swirly effect. Yeah. Minions who are silenced have a little effect on them.
A little padlock on them.
I guess it is kind of a padlock. Arcane padlock.
So there are two ways. There are two main modes of play in the game of Hearthstone. Mm. It is always a one versus one.
Yes.
Your hero and deck versus opponent's hero and deck. But there are two sort of modes of play. There is, I think what's called, I think they call it constructed.
Yeah, this is play mode.
Yes, play mode, where you build your deck ahead of time out of the cards you've collected. And, you know, choose a deck and get paired up with a random opponent of similar skill level according to their algorithm. And you play a single game.
Mm-hmm. In play mode, and constructed, you have a collection. Decks in general can have two copies of a card.
Yes.
At a max. There are some cards that you can only have one of.
Yes.
And you have to, when you're making your deck, include at least one minion.
Yes.
You start with basic cards. When you first play the game, you get some cards. They have no rarity gem, and they're called basic cards. You cannot destroy your set of basic cards. You always have them. You can't trade them or get rid of them. It's just, that's in the box. You can earn more basic cards and complete the set of basic cards just by playing. You can open packs and get cards that have a rarity gem.
Yes, each pack containing 5 cards. I don't know the math on the distribution in there, other than you're guaranteed to get at least one card of rare or higher.
Yeah, they call it rare, but that's such bobo nonsense. There's blue, or I'm sorry, there's white.
White
is common. Blue, which they call rare.
Yes.
Purple, which they call legendary.
I think epic.
Epic. I thought the. I
always
which
forget.
Is which.
There's,
I
call there's purple.
And,
there's purples, and then there
there's
is
orange.
Orange.
Right.
Orange cards, you can only have one of a given orange code in a deck.
Yeah, that's how that works.
They typically represent plot,
person that they didn't bother to make into a playable character, so they're like, well, maybe we'll make them a really cool minion. There we go. My knowledge, there are no purple spells.
Isn't? No, I think there are some purple spells. I think Mage has one.
There's purple equipments, certainly.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Orange.
Orange spells.
There's an orange. Yeah, I don't think there are any orange spells.
Yeah.
I think there is one orange equipment. But that's not all there.
Neither here nor
there. Anyway, so you can have one. You're guaranteed, at the very least, one blue card.
Yes.
And you might have more blue cards, or I've seen multiple purples
coming. I've seen two yellow, oranges in one pack.
That's sick.
Yes.
Also, any of them could be golden.
Which animates their picture and question mark.
Right.
Premium cards.
Premium cards. You can get premium cards.
Yeah, that's sort of a chase mechanic holdover from physical games.
And yet, it still does have some relevance. For instance, crafting.
Yes. In addition to getting cards out of packs, you may disenchant unwanted non-basic cards into blue powder.
Arcane dust.
Into
pixie dust.
Into pixie dust. And then with pixie dust, with sufficient pixie dust, you may craft any card in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, sufficient pixie dust can be quite a bit for the oranges,
it's like,
but it is an avenue available to you.
Yeah, you can buy it.
You can, even if you have the worst luck opening packs, eventually get all the super rare cards.
Right. You can get packs in the game by earning gold.
Yes.
Cool. You spend game gold to get a pack.
Yes.
And you can open a pack. Cool. Game gold comes from victory, basically. You satisfy certain quest conditions. You can get a quest every day and then do that, and then you get some gold. Usually it's, okay, get some wins with a character class, or just get some wins. There's the generalized thing of, if you get 3 wins in play mode, you'll get 10 gold.
Yes.
You can do this at a maximum of, 100 gold that way.
30.
Or
so 30
wins.
Per day.
In one day. Yeah. They used to not have that cap on. They implemented the cap.
I'm impressed that it became a problem.
I think it became a problem in the degenerate sense that you and I had proposed that one time, where you can challenge your friend, and then just immediately one of you concedes.
I don't think you get gold when you challenge someone directly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's only if you go into only if you spin the wheel and get a mystery opponent.
I guess we'll have to test that. I don't know that. There are a lot of hidden little things.
Right, so there's the mode where you bring in your cards from your collection ahead of time, and then there's arena mode.
Ah, the actual use for game gold.
Yes, which has a gold entry fee. And the way it works, this is sort of similar to the limited styles of playing Magic the Gathering or other games. Where rather than your collection determining what you may play, any given entry into the arena will end up with something different. You are first given your choice of, you may choose from among 3 of the 9 playable characters. Once you have done so,
selected at random. They just sort of present you, okay, you're one of these 3 people.
Yes. And at that, then you must, you know, again, have your deck of 30 cards, and cards are presented to you 3 at a time, and you choose the one of those 3 that you want to be in your deck, and then that is in your deck.
And it just is.
You're
committed.
Right, there's no sense of disincluding selected cards that are in other code games with limited formats.
You don't get to deck build in that sense.
Right.
You pick it, it's there. Do this 30 times.
You are guaranteed a certain amount of rare cards, but that's about it.
Yeah, like the first one is blue or better, and the 15th and 30th are blue or better. There are others.
There are other
like certain
rules in there. And because at this point you've already selected which character you are, you can be shown character-specific cards as well as generally usable cards. Also, in any given sort of choice of 3 cards, I think all 3 cards are the same rarity level, with common and basic being intermixable.
Are on the same level there. So you're always presented 3 common or basics, 3 blues, 3 purples, 3 oranges. There's never like, this one's orange, this one's purple, then blue.
So you don't get those sorts of easy choices.
I frankly think that it's, well, whatever.
Anyway.
there's never a choice of the rarity of the card. That you get.
So once you pick your 30 cards, you then spin the mystery opponent wheel, getting matched up with people who have similar win-loss records. Once you reach either 3 losses or 12 wins, this you know, your current arena run is over and you will receive prizes based on your record. Yeah.
You can also opt to end early. Mm. So you can say, well, retire, and then you can just get your prize at that time. Which yes. I've frankly considered doing a couple times when I get up to like 6 wins and no losses maybe, and I'd be like, competition is going to get stiffer from here. Maybe I want to play a different deck now and just get retired. I have not yet been big enough to make that decision because it's very easy in that situation to just hit the wheel and be like, oh, spin yeah,
we're rolling.
Oh, we're rolling too bad. We're running hot.
But because you get matched up against people with similar records, as you say, the competition does tend to get a little bit stiffer as your record improves.
Yeah, not only in player skill, but in the pool that they open, because holy crap, there's a ton of variance among like decks and even raw cards in terms of the power level involved at what point in the game that you find them. And
I'm pretty sure that for my first 24 arenas, I didn't see an orange. I just didn't open. No, I've seen a grand total of one so far. And then I'll run into people who have double Ragnaros in their deck.
Yeah. I saw 2 in the same run.
There you go.
They both went into the deck, and it was the same guy twice.
And so you do have a pretty strong source of variance there, that if the other person simply was permitted to pick an orange and you were not, then that's going to affect...
They probably have a significantly more powerful card than you did in that same choice.
Yeah, that will likely affect their mean deck quality.
It's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back to it. Honestly, the thing that keeps me coming back to it is the fact that you never have to spend real money on this game.
Yes.
Although you are allowed.
Yes. Buying into the arena costs 150... to just establish some prices.
Oh, yeah.
3 wins gets you 10 gold. Mm-hmm. Generally, the quests that are like get some wins with this character are between 40 and 60 gold.
Yeah, it's 40 or 60. The 60 gold quests are more rare, so it's usually 40 gold.
Yes. It costs 100 gold to simply buy a pack.
Mm-hmm.
It costs 150 gold to enter the arena.
That's right. The prize for the arena that you get always includes a pack.
Yes.
So...
But with good records, it will also include enough gold to cover the cost of entry.
Right, then you're, hey.
Then you feel like a winner.
Then you feel like you could play Hearthstone forever.
Mm. If only we could turn the gold back into US dollars.
Well, they will never implement that.
Not legally, anyway.
That raises some diabolical points. I have a feeling that won't actually happen, though.
Mm.
Like, you have to... Your gold is tied to your account.
Yeah.
And you could, in theory, sell your account to someone. They don't like it when you do that.
No.
They will stop you.
But getting back to that, entering the arena costs either 150 gold or, I believe, $2?
You know, I never look at that price, but let's suppose it's $2.
$2. $1.99.
Yeah, you can spend $1.99 on the arena run. I think you can spend real money on packs, too.
Yes, yeah, and if you buy increasing quantities, there's a
right,
discount.
You can, like, spend $40 on just packs, which is it's the hugest waste. I don't even like that.
It appeals to certain people, and they have used it.
Yeah.
So... Other than that, the cards all do what they say and have numbers on them.
Yeah. There are some questionable interactions. For instance, if in Magic the Gathering, say, you have a triggered ability that says when you cast a spell, do this, the effect goes on the stack above the spell, it resolves, and the spell resolves, right? Every time. This is built into the rules, it's look-upable, you can know how that works. You can always, in Magic, resolve any scenario with sufficient knowledge and application of the rules. There's an asterisk there, but we're not going to discuss that because that gets into some really pointy-headed stuff.
No
about
one
the rules
talk
of Magic
about humility.
Ever. Forget about that and Darksteel Colossus, Gravebane Zombie, and stuff. But anyway, if in Hearthstone, there is, you know, you have one guy who says, when you cast a spell, do this. You have another guy who has a very similar ability that says, cast a spell, do something else. The interactions get questionable. My example here is with Violet Teacher and Pyromancer.
Wild Pyromancer.
Wild Pyromancer.
Yes.
Each of these has an ability that says, when you cast a spell, do something. With the Wild Pyromancer, his effect happens afterward. With Violet Teacher, her effect happens before.
So you play the spell,
mm-hmm.
the Violet Teacher's effect happens,
mm-hmm.
then the spell happens, then the Wild Pyromancer's effect happens.
If you had both of those, yes. That would be the order.
Why, though?
I don't know.
Hmm.
There are some things in Hearthstone that are they happen, and then... And we just don't know.
And this is a thing that has come up not terribly many times, but enough times for it to stick in my memory, where I read all the cards, and I did not know what would happen
mm-hmm.
when I played something, and there were no rules I could refer to
right.
to attempt to figure it out. I simply had to try it.
Right. There are cards and stones in Hearthstone that have random properties.
Yes.
It says, kill all minions except one selected at random.
Yes.
Or deal one damage to each of three targets selected at random. Or three random minions, three random hero characters, whatever.
Yes.
There are random things.
Right. But in those cases, I know the possible outcomes.
Yes. Nothing short of that is truly random in Hearthstone. If you do these things, they will always work themselves out the same way, according to something. It might not be a knowable something, you just have to try it. Except for Sylvanas, that's the one that continuously befuddles people and things. Sylvanas is Kaga, but at random.
Okay.
So if... Each person has a Sylvanas and they bump into each other, then something happens. I don't know what.
So they're both trying to steal an enemy minion at the same time.
And then, yeah, that scenario has played out. We suspect that it truly is not random, but it's hard to know. Also, the effects that are truly random in Hearthstone aren't, a lot of them, anyway. For instance, if something says, okay, I will deal 4 damage split at random among things. If the minions that it could target all have 1 health, it will never do more than 1 to each
right.
of them.
It will not attempt to overkill
right.
minions.
Because secretly things are like dying in the middle of the spell.
Yeah.
I think that's how that generally shakes out. So it tends to... things of that kind tend to be better than they look for that reason. You can guarantee yourself, oh, well, if he only has 1 minion with 1 health left, and I have the spell that deals like 4 damage split at random, I'm probably going to kill it and get most of the damage to my opponent. I mean, if that's what you're after... Hearthstone. So my own
play mode is pay to win.
It basically is. There are 5 or 6 popular decks that use the best cards. It's pretty easy to, after a while, within a community of like players, figure out what's the best thing to do, and the good cards rise to the top pretty quickly, and then there you go. There's plenty of variation among the things that are good, maybe good decks. I don't think that the metagame is stale. I'm also nowhere near playing in the metagame because I haven't bought the cards.
You haven't paid to win yet.
I haven't. It's difficult to pay to win, really, because the only way to get new cards is to buy packs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really would have to like put $40 into the machine, and then. Possibly have, and then get like 25 packs or something.
Yes. All of the nice people at Blizzard, their pupils turn into dollar signs every time someone thinks this.
And then
this.
125 cards appear, and then maybe one of them is the one that I was after. And if it isn't, then I'm...
You guys turn into pixie dust.
Yep. Shame. Yeah, that doesn't appeal to me at all.
Mm.
What does appeal to me is doing arena runs again and again. Now, you don't get to keep your deck.
No. If you are fortunate enough to open a rare card during an arena run and have it in your arena deck, you only have it for the duration of using that arena deck.
And
it
only
not...
specifically for that deck in that run. It, you know. It's fun, though. I get to...
you get to feel like
to temporarily
you're playing the actual game of Hearthstone for a
And in some cases, you get to play bizarre, better-than-constructed decks that are, you know... Because if you open three of a card, you can have them.
Right. In in play mode, or constructed, you are limited to two of all non-legendary cards and one of any given legendary card. However, in arena mode, there is no such restriction.
Yep, whatever you pick is there. And
so you can have more than two of your non-legendaries. Sometimes you can get very silly numbers of an individual card and have decks that feel very unfair. Like when I was playing that Paladin with four Blessing of Kings in his deck.
Wow. That would feel pretty unfair.
I felt strong, but also like a bully.
Any given tiny man suddenly is... He becomes the king. He puts on the crown.
He was a crown. You're the king.
Yeah, so what appeals to me is just playing arena again and again.
I feel that arena is the more interesting use of one's time within the game. I got just kind of exhausted of it.
It's pretty easy to get exhausted, I think. I have a high tolerance for that because I'm... doing this in place of doing any magic at all.
Mm.
And so all of that leftover desire to play magic is going into this instead. Mm. And it's also not all that frequently the case that I am even able to sit down and do an arena run. Because I've been streaming all of them.
Mm.
I have not done even one arena run that I have not streamed to the internet.
Keeping it public.
Yeah. So they can... I don't cherry pick.
No.
Haha. Uh-huh. I have started recording them and I'll put them on YouTube too. I think I have three runs up now. All this talk about Hearthstone, I want to go play it. So you have one of us who's exhausted, you have the other of us who can't get enough. And that's Hearthstone, baby.
It's an all-right game. You don't technically have to spend any money on it.
Yeah, it is.
And so in that sense, it's certainly worth trying.
It is in open beta, and you too can sign up for a Hearthstone account and start playing right now.
Yeah.
With an internet connection, I guess.
You need a Battle.net account.
Right. Well, I mean, Battle.net accounts.
It's a step.
Now, to be honest, you're right that it is a step. That is absolutely true. To be honest, Blizzard customer support is the best customer support service I have ever seen or heard of. You tweet at them, and they will solve your problem with the tweet they respond with, which is usually in the same minute. It is absurd. I'm blown away at how great Twitter, like, at Blizzard CS is. Blown away. So if you're ever having problems with Hearthstone or whatever your Battle.net account is, tweet at them.
I'm having a problem with Hearthstone. Why don't I get to pick any legendaries?
Well, that's... honest to God, they might actually respond to that. the game is a game, because I don't want to sit here and geek out about it or how much fun I have. The game is a game is... really neat. It's not super unique. Because it's you know, it's Yu-Gi-Oh! And it's online, and they've solved the dice rolling problems. And it's very simple.
It's very simple.
I think I appreciate that more than anything else. How...
Sometimes it feels too simple, and it's just my deck ordering versus my opponent's.
Oh, often.
Yes.
There's not a lot of... I mean, there's almost no tutoring effects. The kinds of things that always rise to the top in permanent, not permanent, what are they called? eternal formats in Magic the Gathering, you know, ways to essentially shrink the size of your deck down to nothing, or select from among 60 cards or 75 cards as you want, ways to perfectly mitigate the randomness inherent of the game. That kind of stuff is really popular among professional players, and really any skilled player, regardless of whether they're a pro or not, is going to figure out, hey, I don't want to be at the mercy of random stuff if I have the choice. If there's something that lets me mitigate that and rely only on my own skill, that's something that I can build. I can't get better at rolling dice. Oh, don't give me that look. I know you're better at rolling dice than me. Just shush.
Some people just have more 20s in them, Kaz. I'm one of these people.
You know, like the lifetime number of heartbeats, the lifetime number of 20s that you will roll. Ooh, that's kind of terrifying to think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I started DMing games. I just wanted to be allowed to roll more dice. Get better at it that way. What else would you like to say about Hearthstone before we conclude?
Hearthstone, if you decide to play it, and you decide to stream it, pay no attention to what your stream chat says.
That is important.
Here's the thing about Hearthstone that happens with a lot of other popular games like this. Everyone is convinced that they're amazingly good at it. And that you need to listen to their advice.
Moreover, when you are streaming and you have the chat next to it, if you're the streamer, anyone can immediately call you out on anything that you do or say that is incorrect, and you just have to take it, because you're there. You can't vanish. If someone who's just in the chat does or says something that's incorrect, they can vanish. They're still safely behind the veil of anonymity that is the internet. So there's less at stake for them. So they get to say more things and make more wild claims. If only you had done this different. See, now that that different thing has happened, I am right and justified. It happens all the time. That's the kind of thing that is built into this system of interaction that leads people to make claims about Hearthstone and do backseat driving whenever you're streaming. Ignore them. Don't worry about them.
They are a blight.
Don't get
upset. Do not cast your gaze.
Right. Just don't. I try to keep it as low key as I can. I still talk to the zoo when I am able. I just don't listen to their advice. Also, there's a delay in my stream setup built into the system itself. There's no delay on my end, but you know, it's sort of there. So there, the zoo is looking at 30 seconds or a minute in the past.
They're also not actually clicking buttons and dealing with all the actual lines of play and other things
they
that
don't have
considering.
To deal with themselves.
Wow. It seems like you know a lot about Hearthstone. Mm. When do you stream?
Oh, there's one mechanic that we forgot. I think it is mechanically important.
What is that?
Ending the turn.
Mmm.
Your turn does not end until you click the end turn button. If you diddle around for too long, a fuse pops out of this button. When the fuse counts down, it ends the turn for you.
Yes.
If your turn ends by the fuse, your next turn will begin with the fuse. So if you're just not paying attention, you have the sound off, and you have the Hearthstone in the background, you'll very quickly lose the game from your opponent getting you to zero. If you disconnect, then your opponent will auto win. But the fuse is that's a mechanic. It freaked me out the first time it happened.
There is little time.
Yeah.
Time waits for no one. All your characters have little cute voice clips. You cannot directly chat with your opponent while playing. You may choose one of six preset voice clips for your character. A greeting, thank you, an apology, a threat, a congratulation on an excellent play.
Yes.
And
well played.
I think goodbye? Is that in there?
Wow, I've never seen a goodbye.
I don't know if that's...
No, I've just not been paying attention to this.
The important ones are greetings and threats and well played.
Yes. I rarely give my opponents any of that. Even if I want to say well played, I usually say greetings instead. Yeah. It's like, greetings, and then I finish them off. So.
Hello!
So that's Hearthstone, baby.
That's Hearthstone. You can try it out, and because there is no investment other than your time in trying it out, I feel pretty comfortable saying, just try it out.
Just try it out. You know, you'll pick it up.
You will very quickly get a feel for whether or not this is something you can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't enjoy it, definitely stop playing.
Yeah, there shouldn't be anyone who sits on the fence about whether or not to play Hearthstone. Either you know, hey, I don't really like competitive collectible card game stuff, so I'm going to pass this one by. Or...
if you don't already love at least the idea of a competitive one versus one card game, Hearthstone is not going to change your mind.
Yeah.
You must at least like the idea. Maybe you've been kept away from other games due to cost or complexity.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hearthstone does address both of those issues, cost and complexity.
It still has Kino art, I guess.
Sorry.
Yeah, some of the art is weird, and you get some stuff that's uniquely awful to Warcraft stuff.
And if you absolutely cannot stand the trappings of Warcraft, then...
I guess that could turn
somebody off. Yeah, that would turn you off. I'm merely ignorant of them, and therefore can tolerate them, and... occasionally, I'll pick up on their little in-jokes, like Taz Dingo and Scrub and all of that.
I rather love the occasional Lokragar Nogaru.
And Talo Atul.
Well, that's a different...
That's the expansion.
Oh, man. Hearthstone, Heroes of StarCraft.
Why not? Mechanics are...
Please, don't do it. Anyway... They'll do whatever they want. I hope they make more cards.
Really, though? Yeah, the card set is pretty compact, and that lets it stay reasonably balanced and understandable. But I still gotta say, like, you know, probably my favorite piece of art in the whole game is when you're getting fatigue damage and they show you the skulls.
Skulls!